Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio of the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis, and it's being brought to you by Arkadek.
How about that?
All right, now let's talk about something particularly important.
Okay.
The we have coming up after we're going to get through these reviews in a more expedited way, because there is a major lawsuit that just hit concerning A Star Is Born.
And a particular song that you and Kevin enjoy and cry during.
Well, and a song that Richard wrote a parody song to that he and Lauren performed was a big hit, such a big hit, even Bill Murray called.
Oh my gosh, she stole it from us, didn't she? You wrote it first.
Are we going to be called as material witnesses at some point?
It is not unlikely that that will occur.
All right. I stand by our video.
Yes. So
wow, excited.
Yeah. So now we're gonna have to do a little DJ court on this and figure out if this actually did happen. But I'm telling you, I've listened to this and it's case closed.
Oh wow.
Oh. Yeah.
But we'll get to it. All right, let's talk about The Kitchen.
Yeah, The Kitchen. Okay, so Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, Elizabeth Moss. Now, there's some casting right there, right? And this movie is set in 1978, Hell's Kitchen. They are the wives of Irish-American mobsters who have just been sent to jail, and now they're going to take on the life of crime. If that sounds similar to the plot of Widows, which we just saw last December, it's because it is. Separate stories. This is actually based... A lot of people think, oh, it's 1978 Hell's Kitchen. This is based on a true story. No, it's actually based on comic books, on a series of comic books. Oh. So it's kind of intriguing, and it's great dramatic material. We already knew Elizabeth Moss, of course, could do dramatic material. Melissa McCarthy has done some great stuff, and now Tiffany Haddish. But the movie's kind of garbage. The biggest problem the biggest problem here is that once they decide they're going to take over the operations for their husbands, how easy they do it, and then it just becomes the filmmakers really, they're like, wow, we can really explode heads with different types of gunshots. So everybody just keeps getting killed. That's how they keep resolving plots, with like sudden gun bursts. Unlike, the best mob movies where things happen that lead to that. By the time Joe Pesci gets whacked in Goodfellas, it's because they beat Billy Batts to death and he was a made man and they weren't, and then all these things happen. Then he gets whacked. Here, just a guy pulls out a gun and keeps, shooting people in the head. So it's kind of nasty. And they become so enamored with killing, they're more like psychopaths than like anti-heroes. So 2 stars for Hell's Kitchen. Forget about that one. For The Kitchen, it's called The Kitchen. Set in 1978. Also, Common's in this movie because he has to be in at least in one movie a month, and he plays the FBI agent who's out to track them down. And everybody else looks like they're in 1978. Common just looks like he walked off one of those commercials where he tells
looks
us
like Common.
We can aim high. They gave him a mustache, but there's something about Common.
Uh-huh.
He could be in a Gladiator movie. He could be in a Star Wars movie, and you're going to go, that's Common. That's right. Our guy.
He looks like he's giving a TED Talk.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Always. In every movie, he is wearing the headset.
Yeah.
Which I think is weird.
Yeah,
in the 1970s. Also, I think in the Roman, he's wearing a toga and a headset. I think that's very weird.
I feel like they might have showed him, a lot of the other men are wearing those horrific late 1970s plaid sport coats and stuff. I feel like they showed him that and he goes, I'll just do like a beige and a brown,
Yeah,
he could walk off the set down the street and no one would go, why is Common dressed like the 70s?
Yeah. Like mock turtleneck.
Yeah. So, 2 stars for that. Well, give me another one real quick. All right. You ready for this one?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This one's called The Art of Racing in the Rain. Now, you might have seen the commercials for this. They've got Milo Ventimiglia. He's the guy from the saddest show of all time, This Is Us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this movie's also it's told through the point of view of a golden retriever. The saddest and happiest dog in the world, but the dog that gets us the most sad sometimes. And the dog is voiced by Kevin Costner, who also makes us cry. And then it's got that Amanda Seyfried, who's like, Mom is always dying in the Mamma Mia movies. It's the saddest, cryingest movie ever.
Oh.
And I kind of like the idea of when they tell the story through the dog point of view. But the whole time, you're just like, that's Kevin Costner as the dog. He doesn't try to sound like a dog.
He doesn't growl or bark or anything.
We got it. Well, listen. This is Kevin Costner as the dog.
Call it fate. Call it luck. All I knew was I was meant to be his dog. Denny always said the best drivers focus only on the present, never dwelling on the past, never committing to the future. Reflection must come at a later time, which is why drivers compulsively record their every move with their in-car cameras.
Gotta turn earlier. Better run on that corner.
What does a dog know about that?
Yeah, the character's a race car driver. And also in this movie, you know, right off the bat, even when he's a puppy, he sounds exactly like Kevin Costner. And he keeps bringing the Milo Ventimiglia character. He keeps bringing the puppy to the racetrack. Don't bring your dog to the racetrack.
That's dangerous.
Bad for their ears. And everything else.
Is the dog dead in this movie?
It's hardly giving anything away. This one of those movies that starts with the poor dog curled up in a fetal position, unable to go outside anymore and do his duty because he's sick.
Is he looking back?
And then he goes,
life.
"Well, you know, I never wanted it to work out this way, but I'm Kevin Costner." And then
I'm crying already.
And then other people die too. It's very crying, but it seems manipulative. It's based on a novel that was on the New York Times bestseller list for like 4 years.
I can't do any of those dog movies.
And I think if you read it, I know, and that's the thing. You know, they're well made, but they just feel like they're just yanking at your heartstrings. I feel like the book, you know, told through the dog's point of view and the kind of the analogies to racing and everything might work better. But when you got Kevin Costner voicing the dog, it's sort of like when Beyonce was voicing the lion. You just keep thinking, you can picture them in the studio in their sweats getting a giant check. And it's then like, going to the commissary, like, I'm done for the day. Okay,
yeah.
Kev. 2 stars for The Art of Racing in the Rain. Don't go see that either.
I don't understand the dog, the dead dog. Damn it, I got to come out of a dead dog letter.
Exactly. Here's the thing about these dog movies, unless they're animated, even then some. The dog, even the greatest, most wonderful, luckiest dogs in the world, don't last as long as the humans usually in the movie. By getting the dog, you know you're going to bury the dog.
Right.
Well, you know, when they get little Timmy the dog when he's sick, when he goes off to college, old Yeller ain't going to be able to jump off the bed anymore even to say goodbye to him. That's how it works.
Okay, so that's the that's the thing. The only dog movie that I ever liked was that where they had to find their way home.
Cujo?
A Long Way Home?
A Long Way Home,
great
right.
flick.
Yeah, now that
My Dog
good.
Skip was a good one.
Did the dog die in that one?
No. See, that you got to have a dog. You got to have a movie where the dog does not die.
The dog's purpose. Then they had that one where the dog kept getting reincarnated throughout the movie, which means you had to see it die 4 different times, including one time he was a Chicago police dog.
Oh, I couldn't handle
that. Who saves his beloved companion by jumping in front of the bullet on the LaSalle Street Bridge. And I'm like, who would bring their kid to this movie?
You're pounding the desk more than Hannity right now.
Well, this is the de Blasio of my movies. So don't go see either one of those.
All right.
I'm Richard Roper.
Sounds right. Terrible.
Thank you. All right. We're going to find it. Wait. I got to play this. Wait till you hear this.
Okay.
On the other side, the movie, the song of last year, of the fall, Shallow, from the movie of last year.
Oh, jeez. Poor dork. And that one didn't have a good
run
either.
Star is Born.
Oh, God.
There is now a lawsuit about that song. There is a person claiming that was their song.
Oh, gee.
And that Lady Gaga and Mark Ronson, right? The movie, the music producer and artist and all of that. Yeah. And of course, the brother of Sam Ronson.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know him.
Okay.
Was it
part of
was
Uptown
you?
Funk?
Yes.
Everything, basically.
Well, yes, he did everything. Yeah, he's the producer of this decade. But this other guy named Ronson is claiming, not related, and not spelled the same way, is claiming that his song was the song that was stolen by Mark Ronson and Lady Gaga.
Wow.
We will be the judge, jury, and executioner coming up. Right after Kim tells us what's going on in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
Roe ICE agents have been spotted in one Chicago neighborhood. We'll have details coming up.